our scripture reading this morning, hour, is taken from 1 Peter chapter 2, 1st Epistle of Peter chapter 2. We'll begin reading at verse 13 through the end of the chapter. And we do this in conjunction with Lord's Day 39. We will not read it this morning, hour. We read it last Sunday. I will make reference to it in the sermon throughout it. But also with Article 36 of our Belgic Confession of Faith, we want to make some reference to that as well. But now we read out of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13. Beloved, hear now the word of your God. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, that is God, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy of a man, for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if, when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Thus far, the reading of God's sacred word. May he add his blessing unto it. Dear congregation, we are in a section of scripture and of our catechism in the Belgian Confession, but it's not readily received today in modern society, particularly modern church. And last Sabbath we considered covenantal family government. And we saw in the first place that it comes to us by revelation. It's not something that the church fathers have thought up. It comes to us from the Word of God that we live in a universe of absolute authority. God created the heavens and the earth not only by his will, but by his authority to bring it to pass, and he is the supreme lawgiver. But we are to receive this. And there's this word that sticks to us, submit. It's a nasty word, at least to the ungodly. But to the child of God that is used to saying, thy will be done, that word submit is a precious word. But we are to submit, because God delegates. In his creation, he has delegated men, today women as well, to rule over us, whomsoever he will. Scripture tells us that very often God has appointed the basest of men to rule in the kingdom of men. And we see that, don't we? We see ungodly people in office, and they call good evil and evil good. And yet we are to submit. And it's not so much, particularly in a family, that we say, well, we have this word submit, and it's not so much that I can't do it. The issue is, I will not do it. And there are people today that will not submit to authority, whatever that authority is. But last of all, we found that there is a reward to this submission, is there not? The family that submits to Christ is a family that honors Christ. It's a family that shines as a light on a hill. It's a family that brings glory to God in Jesus Christ. So we want to continue with our look at our Lord's Day by the theme this morning, our honoring civil government. Hopefully, Lord willing, next Sabbath we want to look at honoring ecclesiastical or church government in the ordination of our new deacon. Honoring civil government. Again, the same 3 points: by revelation, by receiving, and by reward. Verse 13 of our chapter, our text here. It says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. And in question 104 of the catechism, this is, what doth God require in the fifth commandment? And the answer is that I show honor, love, and fidelity to my father and mother, and we want to focus on this, and to all in authority over me, and submit myself to their good instruction. And so the scriptures, and the catechism, and the Belgian Confession of Faith, our forefathers, bow down to this edict from God to submit to authority. We have a great divide set before us, don't we? We have the Reformed Church and our forefathers, the scriptures on one side. We have what our Belgian confession later on refers to as the Anabaptists. It's that cult that existed in the time of the Reformation. And they were against all authority. And they rebelled against it. The Arminian rejects the idea that God is sovereign. They embrace man's so-called free will. But the Reformed faith bows before God's absolute sovereignty. And that does come to us by revelation in Proverbs 21:1. It says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As the rivers of water, he turneth it whithersoever he will. It says the king's heart in Israel's day, in the theocracy. But the king's heart, wherever it is in the hand of the Lord. The kings of the earth don't just contrive to do something. God is in the business of bringing his kingdom to come to pass. And he's sovereign. He's sovereign over the one that is in the milking parlor in days of old. He's sovereign over kings and princes. And in our day and age, we have to lay hold upon this truth that God is sovereign. And thus our text in our Lord's Day demands that all believers submit. In the back of our Psalter, page 19 in the middle, we find Article 36 of the Belgian Confession. I will not read all of it, just some parts of it, but it starts out, it says, we believe that our gracious God, because of the depravity of mankind, has appointed kings, princes, and magistrates, willing that the world should be governed by certain laws and policies, to the end that the dissoluteness of men might be restrained, and so forth. And then at the very bottom of the page before the footnote. It says, moreover, it is the bounden duty of everyone of whatever state, quality, or condition he may be to submit himself to the magistrates, to pay tribute, to show due honor and respect to them, and to obey them in all things which are not repugnant to the word of God. In that last paragraph, wherefore we detest the Anabaptists and other seditious people, and in general all those who reject the higher powers and magistrates and would subvert justice, introduce common community of goods, and so forth. And so we stand with our Reformed forefathers in submission to the civil magistrates, but we do so with the truth that God is sovereign, and we have this scale set before us. And that scale can tip to one side or the other. We have to have a balance in this. That the powers that be, our own government, does not exist just because some people voted for these people. But it is God's will, it's His appointment. But on the other hand, we see that there are indeed evil men. Are we to roll over and just play dead? Well, of course not, but we are to use legal and lawful means if we are to resist the government. There are means in place that we can challenge unlawful laws that's being carried out today. It says we are to respect and submit to all those in authority over us. That includes, again, the family and the home. It includes the state. It includes the church. Submit from the heart, not just with a smile on our face, but to submit from the heart, knowing that, first of all, we are submitting unto our Father in heaven. We find this submission, first of all, in the covenant home. We find it in the Christian school. We find it in the church. We find it in the state. Everything we do is with authority. We're born into this world under authority. And when children are young, they have very little authority. Maybe they can tell the dog or cat what to do. But basically, they are under authority. And as we all know, the older we get, the more authority is laid upon our shoulders. Authority when we receive a driver's license. Authority when we have a family to rule over the home. Authority when we are ordained into church office, and so forth. But no matter how old we get, we never come out from under authority. Someone is always in authority over us. And that's some of the problems with the elderly. Sometimes we don't like it when people tell us what to do. And we have to realize we can be set in our ways, but we have to submit to authority. It's not just for children to obey your parents. But Peter's focus is not so much on the civil magistrate, is it? He says, submit yourselves. Oh, it's addressed to the Lord's people, but it's addressed individually. Peter says to us, submit yourselves. Yield. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. He stresses that the civil magistrate is clothed with power. And the civil magistrate does not exist because we voted for him. Of course, that's true. But we bow under the truth that God is sovereign. And we need to keep the scales balanced as we deal with our own nation. But think about Paul in Romans 13, verse 1. He says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. they exist not just for the terror of evildoers, but they exist to protect the righteous. They are there to protect law and order. One ruler made a comment that wherever there is great government, there's also going to be great error. It was Julius Caesar. And wherever there is a good church, there's also error. Wherever there's a good home, there's also error, because man is sinful. And so we don't throw the baby out with the bathwater, do we? But we look at this, the revelation of this authority. If this king, if this governor, if this president oppresses his people, he's not only a bad man, he's a bad president. And yet, we have to see this not as a blessing, it's a plague that has come upon the people. It's a plague that men would oppress their brothers. And yet the pious, the godly people, would not even feel that this would be a motivation to rise up and open rebellion against the government and using violence. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19 gives us the answer what we are to do. It says, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls unto him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So what are we to do in this godless society? We are to commit our souls into the keeping of our faithful creator. We are to be busy in well-doing. We are to let our light shine amongst men. And in our day and age, when marriage is being redefined, and it's not so much that it's no longer considered just man and woman, but marriage has been redefined a long time ago to divorce and remarriage and divorce and remarriage. But even beyond that, marriage has been redefined of who's in final authority in the home. Who is the marriage patterned after? And so we have to receive this from the hand of God. In verse 15a, it says, for so is the will of God. So is the will of God that you and I would submit to all those in authority over us. And the New Testament speaks to us how we're to receive this. To be sure, in the Old Testament, Jehovah God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, ruled over the nations. Today, that same God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, rules over the nations. But hear the voice of Jesus in Matthew 16, 18. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. All power is given unto Jesus in heaven and earth. And then he goes on to say, and lo, I am with you always. Christ is with the Lord's people. In particular, he is with the church. He says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And so, no matter how dark the days might seem, we have one that is in absolute power and authority over all things. But rulers are ordained by God for what purpose? God uses rulers to accomplish his purpose. We think back in the days of Israel's early history, and when they gave themselves over to idolatry and worse than abortion, they offered up their children to Molech and Chemosh. And we think how the Lord gave Moses and later on Solomon a set of blueprints, if I can put it reverently, a set of blueprints on how to build a tabernacle and how to build the temple and all the pieces of furniture and who was to go in there. And when Israel rebelled against the Lord, and rebellion, we found last week, is as a sin of witchcraft. When Israel rebelled against the Lord, Jehovah sent Nebuchadnezzar, an ungodly king, to destroy Jerusalem. And the Lord's anger was so incensed against his people, he even removed the temple from among his people. The holy vessels were taken out and were used in the palace of Nebuchadnezzar to drink wine in. And we see in our own country, maybe, we ought to look through the eyes of Scripture. Is God judging the United States of America? In looking back in the near history, did Adolf Hitler just happen to come on the scenes? Or was the finger of God moving this evil man to bring judgment upon his people of old for rejecting his son? Now that would be anti-Semitic to talk that way today. But we find that God is judging the nations. To be sure, God is judging this nation. And it could very well be that the ones that are in Washington are part of his judgments upon us. And yet, Israel was called upon, they were commanded by God not to resist Nebuchadnezzar. They were to obey him and prosper. We are called above all to submit to the will of God, his revealed will to us, and we are to submit to all in authority over us. And let's be honest, it's hard to do that. And that's what Peter is addressing later on. It's easy to work for a good boss. But when someone misuses you and abuses you, it's hard to have a good attitude toward that person. It's hard to obey that person. And we're called upon to submit. In our hearts, we are to submit to this authority. We are to receive it. And submit myself to their good instruction and correction with due obedience, and also patiently bear with their weakness and infirmity, since it pleases God to govern us by their hand. But lastly, by reward, once again, verse 15b of our text, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. With well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. How are we to live our lives today? Do we join the rabble-rousers and have a sign and picket? And we can yell across the street at those that are pro-abortion and pro-homosexual, and we can throw scripture verses at them? Or do we raise a godly family? Do we raise children in the fear of the Lord? But we do so with a reward in mind, and again, it's not because of what we do, there's no merit in that. But we have a good conscience, do we not? If we submit to the civil magistrate, if we submit to church authority, if we submit in the fear of God, our conscience does not accuse us. We commit ourselves into the hands of our faithful Creator, and we allow him to judge. But knowing also that the day is coming that God will judge the nations, he will judge evildoers. Even a cursory reading of the scriptures, particularly Old Testament, but New as well, we find that there are men and women that stand up against God. We think of Ahab and Jezebel. And we have the Ahabs and Jezebels of our day, don't we? Maybe the Jezebels would not be eaten by dogs in our time, but God judges. And so we are to have a clear conscience before the Lord, and we are to submit. But also realizing that as we submit, and that's what the reformers had, they had a clear conscience, but there was, they could find no fault with them. Oh, Rome did. They found that they resisted the errors, the theological errors that they presented, but our example is the Lord Jesus. He submitted to an unrighteous civil government. He submitted to an unrighteous ecclesiastical government. And there were false accusations brought against him, and he answered never a word. Because, of course, he knew. He knew what he was doing. He knew the purpose for which he came was to obtain and secure our salvation by suffering as a paschal Lamb of God. But he submitted. He submitted to the most inglorious, humiliating pain and suffering ever imaginable. And he knew that his Father in heaven would vindicate him. He's the one that had all power. He says he has all power in heaven and earth. He could have called for a legion of angels or 10,000 legions of angels to destroy his enemies. But he submitted to God's will. He submitted to God's predestinating decree. And you and I in this day and age are never to take our eyes off from God's decree. In the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That our Father in heaven is bringing the kingdom of Christ to come to pass. And so in verse 19 of our chapter, it says, servants, and basically it means slaves, doulos. And in those days, they held slaves. And Peter could very well be addressing slaves. If that's the case, it would be much harder for the slave to submit than for you and I. But he says, servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. But if you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. God is going to judge how we submit to his authority. It's very difficult for you and I to receive that word submit, particularly in state government. But in our day and age, next Sabbath, Lord willing, as we deal with church government, there's not too many churches anymore that have a biblical church government. Just like the family, it's been cast out. If marriage is instituted by man, then man can dictate the parameters of how marriage is to be lived and run. The same way with the church. If the church is no longer the church of Christ, and we can do in church what we want to do, then we can dispense of church government. There's a minister in our town. He didn't like the idea that his elders were restricting him on what he did. And so he resigned and he started a new church. It was in the papers. And it showed in there that this minister says, I will never have a body of elders again, because they restrict the Spirit's work in my life. That's going exactly opposite what we find here. We are to have a heartfelt submission. Hereunto were we called. Why is it that we must suffer dealing with submission? And yes, the day comes when the government will say, you have to deny Christ. Then we say, no, I draw the line here. But our suffering, what Peter ends up with, is pointing to Christ and what he suffered. When we suffer at the hand of the state, we're to look at the Lord Jesus, how he willingly set his face toward Jerusalem, how he willingly allowed his body to be abused. For what purpose? For our salvation. And you and I are to shine forth as lights in the darkness, submitting to God's rule over us, even through men. May that be so with us. Amen. Our Father and our God, which art in heaven, we do thank thee for thy word of truth. We thank thee, Lord, that we might receive thy word this morning, not only in our hearing, but we pray thee that we'll take that word, submit, and etch it deep within our hearts. Grant, O Lord, that we would be a people that are not just hearers of thy word, but doers only. And may our focus always be upon our Lord Jesus, what he's done for us. And may it be, O Lord, as with him, if the time should come for us, that the civil magistrate would be able to say with of us, I find no fault with them. Father, seal thy word to our hearts, and hear this our prayer, for we do ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.